According to Farmers Weekly, I'm not sure if you subscribe to that in paper or online, but Harvest 2023 has been slow progress. It's been a snatch and grab harvest. And maybe if you're part of the farming community, you can identify with that. There have been narrow windows of opportunity to get the work done. High moisture levels, drying costs and all of that sort of stuff. Barley yields apparently have been disappointing. Wheat, a wee bit better. Apparently, winter beans have been one of the success stories in Northern Ireland. You can tell I don't know an awful lot about these things, but that's what I'm told in Farmers Weekly, just last week, actually. When it comes to the harvest, the process is often challenging. There is pressure. There's stress. There are late nights. There are discouragements. But also, isn't there relief? Isn't there gratitude? Isn't there even joy when all is safely gathered in, when the harvest is in, and every year we remember that promise of God back in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. We're so thankful for that, aren't we? We have a joy in our hearts when we think about God's faithfulness, his keeping of his promise, his provision. But Psalm 4, we're turning to this morning for a wee while. And in Psalm 4, we're going to think about an even greater joy. Now, the setting of this psalm may well tie in with that of Psalm 3. If you flick back in your Bibles, you'll see that's when David fled from his son Absalom. But there's also reason to believe that the background to this psalm may well have been famine. It might have been a drought. It might have been a bad harvest. It could have been economic hardship. Verses 6 and 7 make us think about that. People were struggling for lots of reasons. And I'm sure nowadays in Northern Ireland here in 2023, we can identify with some of that thing, some of the economic hardships, some of those struggles. But Psalm 4 begins with David, the writer, troubled and under pressure. Now, what do you and I do when we are troubled and under pressure? What do? If you're a farmer facing unseasonably wet weather and you are anxious about the crop yields and the quality and the prices, all of that's weighing heavily upon your mind. Or maybe you're a parent or a grandparent and you're trying to navigate the complexities of family life, all the challenges that come along with that. Or maybe you're a student and exams are looming. You're thinking about the future, subject choices, career, courses, all of that sort of stuff. Or maybe today you're anxious about your health. You've been shaken by a diagnosis. You're waiting for treatment, surgery. You suffer from chronic pain. Or maybe you've lost your job and you're wondering, how am I going to cope? In our lives, for those reasons and many other reasons, we can find ourselves troubled and under pressure. And it feels a bit like that picture, doesn't it? It all just feels like it's weighing upon us. It's falling upon us. What should we do? Well, at the start of Psalm 4, what does David do? Well, out of his trouble and pressure, he cries out to the Lord. And at the end of Psalm 4, David writes about joy and has peace, even in the middle of it all. Psalm 4 shows us how you and I can also cry out to the Lord. And we can have joy. We can have peace, even in the storms, even when we're under pressure, even when we're troubled. Psalm 4 actually leads us to Jesus. But look with me at the very start, verse 1, where David says, essentially, hear my prayer. Let's read that again, verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. There's a real honesty about this psalm, isn't there? David isn't trying to put on a brave face. Don't we all try and do that sometimes? He is in trouble. And the word distress in that verse, it can mean anguish. David is in a tight corner. He is being squeezed emotionally, spiritually, under his circumstances. He's under pressure. Now, what were those circumstances? Well, two things, and I've already mentioned them, really. Firstly, it may well have been a famine, a bad harvest, economic hardship. You look at verse 6. You many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? It seems to me the people were struggling, and they were looking around at the other nations. We were actually singing about this a moment ago in one of our hymns. They were looking at other people, other nations, and wondering, you know, why do they have grain and new wine abounding, and yet we are struggling? David's distress may have been related to those things, but certainly his distress was related to other people. Look at verse 2. You, how long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? It seems that there were influential, significant people, and they were out to get David. And maybe it was to do with his son and that rebellion against his father. But certainly we know here that there were enemies who wanted to ruin David's reputation. They wanted to bring him down, and he was facing all sorts of slanderous, false accusations. In verse 2, these people are described as people who love delusions and seek false gods. David's distressed, he's troubled, and he's under pressure. And he cries out to the Lord, answer me when I call to you. Hear my prayer. Give me relief from my distress. And of course, David wants relief from his distress right now. But most other translations of the Bible have that verse like this, that plea. You have given me relief when I was in distress. And I think here we have David remembering that the Lord has been faithful to him in the past. He has experienced God's faithfulness, God's care, God's blessings in the past. And in light of that, he's crying out to that same God, please give me relief again now. Help me now as you have done in the past. Have mercy on me. Hear my prayer. And I want you to notice how David addresses God in verse 1. He says, my righteous God. Doesn't that speak of a relationship? Isn't there a relationship here? My righteous God, he's pleading to the God he knows. He's pleading to the God who loves his covenant people. He's pleading to the God who is righteous, who is committed to do right by his people. David cries out to the Lord in his distress, out of his trouble and pressure. Hear my prayer. Hear me. And wonderfully in verse 3, don't we see there David's confidence? Because he knows that this same God hears his prayer. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Isn't that remarkable? The Lord hears when I call to him. Are we hearing that? The Lord hears when we call out to him. So whatever your circumstances are in your life right now, whatever it is that is squeezing you, causing you to feel under pressure, whether it's physically or spiritually or emotionally, whatever it is that's troubling you, and it could be all sorts of things, isn't it a beautiful thing that you and I can call out to the Lord? Like David did. We can say, Lord, answer me. Hear my prayer. Have mercy on me. And we can know for sure that he actually hears us. He hears us. He wants to hear us. He actually delights in the prayers of his people. He wants to hear us. He wants to hear us be honest. He doesn't want to hear fancy prayers and big long words that sound great. He wants us to be real and honest and authentic and to cry out to him where we are, and to know that he hears us and that he provides for us. At harvest time, we've thought about this already. We celebrate, we give thanks for the harvest, for God's physical provision. But surely, even more than that, we celebrate the God who has provided for our greatest need. He has provided for us in a way that we couldn't provide for ourselves. He has made a way for you and I to be in a right relationship with him. And that is staggering, because when you think about who we are by nature, we are lost and we're rebellious and we're in darkness and we have no hope at all. And yet God has reached down in the person and work of his son Jesus. God has made rescue, redemption, freedom, forgiveness possible. In Hebrews 4:16, we read these powerful words. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Isn't it wonderful that you and I can cry out to the same God that David cried out to all those years ago? And we can also cry out to that same God, hear me, with confidence as David did. But our confidence comes because of what Jesus has done for us. Our confidence comes because of the gospel. And we can know. I love that verse because you and I can know right now today that when we call out to the Lord, we can find mercy and grace to help us when? In our time of need. If you're in need today, call out to him. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to give you mercy. He wants to give you grace. He wants to help you. Whatever your trouble or pressure is, please, please call out to him, because he's the only one that can really help. Verses 3 to 5, you'll see that David turns to other people. He encourages them to search their hearts, to trust in the Lord. But then I want us to focus in for a few minutes on verses 6 to 8, because there David turns back to the Lord in prayer. And it's there we see where his joy and his peace come from. You know, this psalm began, the very start, with David in distress and under great pressure. But it ends with David talking about joy and experiencing peace. How did he get there? And how do you and I get from being troubled and distressed and under pressure to having joy and peace in our hearts and our lives? Well, look again at verse 6, if you will, for a wee moment. That question David brings to the Lord. Verse 6. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? David's aware, the people are aware, that others are doing well. You know, their grain, their new wine abound. And it's like the question is, well, what about us, Lord? What about us? What about our lives? What about our pressure, our struggles? Many people were asking the question, who is going to show us better times? Who is going to make things better? Who is going to change things? And don't people today ask similar questions? When's it going to get better? When's prosperity going to return? Who's going to show us better times? Have you heard people ask those questions? Have you asked that question? I have. In the past few years, or maybe more than that, we've had all sorts of crises, haven't we? We've had the financial crisis. We've had a global pandemic. We have a mortgage crisis. We have warnings of a looming recession. We have a cost of living crisis. We have rising unemployment. We have a mental health crisis. And just recently, we've had unseasonable, unpredictable weather. That's becoming very common, isn't it, every harvest time for the farming community, making it really difficult. All of this and so much more has left people like you and I really struggling in their lives. And of course, we know that in other parts of the world, the struggle is literally for survival, isn't it? No food, no clean running water. Who will bring prosperity is the question. Who will bring better days? Where can we find hope, really, is the question, isn't it? Often we look to politicians and governments and people like that to provide answers. And of course, we should pray for those in authority. Of course, we should. We should look to those people to an extent. Sometimes we look to ourselves, don't we? We wonder, what can I do? How can I change things? How can I chase after this? But ultimately, what you and I really need to do is to do what David does in Psalm 4. If we want prosperity, if we want better times, if we want to have hope, then you and I need to turn to the Lord. I want to read you a slightly different translation of verses 6 to 8. It's the New Living Translation. Many people say, "Who will show us better times? Let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." That translation asks the question a wee bit differently, doesn't it? Who will show us better times? Who will give us prosperity? Who will give us joy and peace? And the answer is the Lord. That's the only answer. It's the Lord. David writes there that you, Lord, have given me greater joy. And I love that translation. You have given me greater joy. You and I search for joy all over the place, don't we? We search after it. We chase it. We try to find it in material stuff. We try to find it in places we go. We try to find it in other people and relationships. We search for joy. And of course, at harvest time, there is a joy, isn't there? There's a joy in the words of the hymn we opened with today. "You come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in." And we sing that with joy, don't we? Because of the harvest. But there's an even greater joy. And the last verse of that hymn really speaks to that, doesn't it? Because there we sang about being free from sorrow and free from sin, about being purified, about being in his presence forever in a glorious home in heaven. There's an even greater joy than any joy you and I can find anywhere in the world. And that joy is found only in Jesus. It's only found when we experience his love for ourselves. It's only found when we know that he has won the victory over sin and Satan and death, that he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He's the one who makes it possible for you and I to be free from the presence of sin one day in heaven and to be in his presence forever. Isn't that a greater joy than anything we can experience in this world? I wonder today, are you troubled? Are you troubled in your life for some reason? And maybe even it's something that you haven't even shared with your family or your friends. Maybe you've got something that is weighing so heavily upon you and you're struggling to cope with it. Or maybe in your life you're feeling such pressure. You're feeling the squeeze. You wake up on a Monday morning and you just wonder how I'm going to get to Friday. Maybe you're in that place. Maybe you have been in that place, and certainly most of us at some stage will be feeling like that. Doesn't it help to know that you and I, as David did, that we can cry out to the Lord? We can say, "Hear my prayer," and we can have a supreme confidence because of Jesus that God will hear our prayer. And he won't just hear our prayer, but he will respond to it. He will act in accordance with his beautiful, perfect will for our lives. And ultimately, we can cry out to him. We can know joy. We can know peace because of all that Jesus has already done for us. Do you want to finish with words that Jesus shared with his disciples in John chapter 14? I know one of the kids talked about John 6. That's a very good chapter too. But John 14, I love these words. If you're troubled today, if you're under pressure, if you're stressed, listen to these words of Jesus. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." Shall we pray? Let's pray.